Second and final hour of today's show, kicking off the right way with Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos, our Broncos insider here. Zach, oh boy, where do we want to start in this one? I know everybody's going Drew Lock first, but I am just appalled at the way the Broncos are using Philip Lindsay. And the only reasonable thing I can go in my brain is he's still banged up. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, Vic Fangio today did not give him that excuse. He said that Philip, you know, probably isn't 100%, but he's plenty fine enough to play. But you're 100% right, Brady. Inexcusable is a good word for that. Philip Lindsay had 4 carries on the game. And maybe if this outcome was 37-12 and a lot of that damage happened in the first quarter,
sure,
that would be explainable and you would understand that. Let's say the Broncos get down 24-0 at the end of the first, then, well, you're probably not going to run the ball and you put yourself in a really tough position, but that's what it would be. But no. You were down 4 points at halftime. You were within a touchdown near the end of the third quarter. This was not a game where you should have abandoned the run game. And this, again, it's the same story a different week. Last week, Drew Lock dropped back more than 50 times, and the running backs had 14 combined carries. This week, Drew Lock dropped back 51 times, and your top 3 running backs had a combined 17 carries. You cannot have that and be successful. And by the way, that is only going to hurt Drew Lock, which it literally did hurt Drew Lock, both physically, where he's dealing with a rib injury now, and mentally, where, you know, he's coming off the worst game of his performance, and a lot of people are jumping off that bandwagon, and understandably so.
Yeah, no question about it. When this team is supposed to, you know, they go out, they get Melvin Gordon to compliment Philip Lindsay. That's all we heard, right? Is, oh, this isn't a replacement on the depth chart. They're both number ones. This is, and especially Zach, after hearing Pat Shurmur, especially in press conferences, say, yeah, we got to focus more on running. We got to commit to it. We have to scheme better for it. Well, Gordon only had 11 carries, so they clearly didn't commit to running the football in any conceivable way. It's absolutely insane to me.
Yeah, it is insane, and there's really no explanation behind it, especially because the game was within reach, really, until the end of the third quarter. And then I do understand you pretty much abandoning the run, but you can't do that the first 3 quarters of a game. This will happen every single week if that's the approach you take. And in terms of Phil yesterday, Melvin Gordon probably had his best game as a Bronco.
Sure.
He looked pretty good. Now, obviously, the stats wouldn't back that up, but he did look good. But still, Philip Lindsay is your best offensive player right now. The fact that he got 3 touches for -2 yards in the first half is not good. It's not good for Phil. It's not good for the offensive line. It's not good for Drew Lock. It's not good on anyone. And I'm at the point where, Brady, a lot of people ask me, you know, what's Philip Lindsay's future in Denver? Are they going to sign him to a long-term deal? It's hard for me to say that he has a future in Denver. Maybe he has 1 more year because the Broncos can put a second-round tender on him or a first-round tender, whatever they want to do. They have control of him. But after this, Phil has to feel disrespected by only getting 4 rushes. And we've seen from John Elway that he brought in Melvin Gordon, was willing to pay him the money, did not pay Philip Lindsay the money this year. And now we're also seeing what the coaching staff thinks of Philip Lindsay by only using him 4 times in that game. And on top of that, this entire season, he only has 1 game where he has double-digit carries.
Especially coming off of that, well, 2 weeks later, I suppose, that Chargers game, we could argue all day, Philip Lindsay or Bryce Callahan, what was the game changer? We talked about this. Justin Simmons on the defensive side, they're excited because watching Philip Lindsay score, they said, oh, wow, we're in this game. We have a shot. I've never seen anything quite like this. The obvious display of disrespect, some people argue that, but I don't think there's any argument now that they're flat-out disrespecting their most consistent offensive player for the last 2 years.
Yeah, he was on the field for 30%. 30%
wow,
of the offensive plays. And I understand that, you know, you're paying Melvin Gordon $8 million. You want to feature him. He's having his best game. But maybe that's when Melvin Gordon's on the field 55% and Philip Lindsay's on the field 45%. Or they're both on the field for 10% of the time. So if Philip Lindsay, I think he has to be on the field half the time. And if you want Melvin Gordon on the field half the time as well, that's great. There should also be some overlap between the two on the field. That's what we heard we were going to see this year. We saw it in the very first quarter of the first game. But once Phil got hurt and has come back, we have not seen that since. It's pretty mind-boggling with what's going on there.
Yeah. Now, have you talked to Philip Lindsay? Is he made available? Have you heard anything about his thoughts, how he's feeling today?
Well, we have not talked to him after the game. And honestly, with only getting four carries, I'd be surprised if we did talk to him this week.
Wow, that's tough. All right, well, who knows what's going to happen there, but I think you and I both felt optimistic about his future with Denver at the beginning of the season. Yeah, it's tough to see a future there, at least much past next season. On to Drew Lock. He was 23 for 47. He threw it 47 times, as you alluded to. 257 yards, the four interceptions. That's the big one. And Zach, sometimes you can see an interception and say, all right, you know, that's just the way it goes sometimes. But these interceptions, at least most of them, obviously very costly, but just absolutely terrible throws.
Yeah, terrible throws. And there's two ways that I can summarize this game. From the offensive side, it's Drew Lock throwing an interception off his back foot to a defensive lineman. And on the other side, for the Broncos defense, it's Devontae Booker scoring as many points as the Broncos, having more touchdowns than the Broncos, and having more rushing yards than the entire Broncos. But sticking with Drew, it was as bad as it could be, and there's no excuses. You know, you can throw in the Broncos didn't run the ball. That didn't help him. That's true. The offensive line didn't help him. Yeah, that's true as well. But Drew Lock was making some terrible, terrible decisions at crucial points. I mean, Brady, it's not crazy to say we could be talking about a Broncos win if Drew Lock doesn't throw that touchdown right before halftime.
Right.
And the Broncos go into half with a lead there. Then maybe we see Philip Lindsay have, I don't know, 14 carries. Heck, maybe he gets 10 carries again. But that interception was absolutely killer. Throwing it to a defensive lineman is absolutely killer. And this was a game where you're seeing a lot of people jump off Drew Lock's bandwagon, and I certainly understand that. He did play hurt. Credit to him for that. But this was something where Drew Lock said he was fine. The trainer said he was fine. So you can't really use that as an excuse other than just saying, man, he really is tough. And like Vic Fangio said, I don't think anyone's questioning his toughness now. People are just questioning whether he's a long-term starter in the NFL.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. That's the tough part, too, is you're looking around the rest of the NFL, and this isn't just on Drew Lock. You're seeing teams that, okay, they tore it all down at one point, the Arizonas of the world, the Buffalo Bills of the world. They started with a plan. They started with an identity. And then you see this crazy game take place yesterday. You're seeing some great young quarterback play. Look at Miami. But the Broncos, again, and again, it can go all the way back to Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian, whatever you want to do there. But it keeps pointing to this lack of identity, and you're seeing teams that maybe struggled 3 years ago. All right, they're putting the plan together. The Broncos are no further than they were the year after the Super Bowl.
No, they really aren't. And what is really unfortunate is this isn't the John Elway days, the Peyton Manning days, where John Elway is getting benched throughout his rookie season, going 1-for-8, where Peyton Manning leads the league in interceptions and quarterbacks just need time to develop. That is definitely the exception now more than the rule. You know, in a quarterback's first few starts, certainly within their first year, if they're the truth. The guys come onto the scene and take it. Look at the Broncos' next opponent, Tua. He looks like the truth. He's balling out in his first three games. You see Joe Burrow look like the truth. Kyler Murray looking really, really good. These guys have instant success. That is not foreign to this game right now. And Drew Lock just isn't having that. So there is an understanding when people say, well, you need patience. Yeah, that is more of the old school way of thinking about it right now. And so it certainly is frustrating for the Broncos. And now the best thing for the Broncos is for Drew Lock to turn it around in these final seven games and be the quarterback. Everyone should be cheering for that, because if that happens, then that's without a doubt the best thing for the Broncos. But if that doesn't happen, then losing may be the best thing, because then it'll get them closer to the top of the draft, where there's a very exciting bunch of quarterbacks, and just outside of the top two quarterbacks as well. But it really is crazy that, you know, with seven games left, that is a realistic conversation that we're having.
Well, and you mentioned it with all these all those quarterbacks you just mentioned. The rules kind of lend itself. Of course, I'm not trying to take anything away from some of these quarterbacks, but the rules do lend itself where if you're not throwing for, you know, at least that 250, and we're seeing less interceptions now. I mean, quarterbacks, great quarterbacks that throw it a lot, are throwing less picks. You're not getting a piece of that pie. So you can see where the urgency is, especially when you look at your own division. When I can say Derek Carr is one of the worst quarterbacks in that division, that's a tough thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have Derek Carr, who entering yesterday had 16 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. You have Patrick Mahomes, I think he was something crazy like 25-1. And then you have Justin Herbert, who has not had more interceptions than touchdowns in a game entering yesterday. And he's a guy where he's thrown, entering yesterday, he had thrown for either 3 touchdowns or 300 yards in every single game of his young rookie season, which is just crazy. And then Tua, on the other hand, he had a game where he threw 93 yards. He had a game where he threw 150 yards. He also had a game where he threw 250 yards, but he has not thrown an interception yet. So you're absolutely right. This is a game that really favors the quarterback, and good quarterbacks now, they can still put up the crazy stats. They're just not putting up crazy touchdowns. And Drew Lock has had multiple interceptions thrown in the game. And then yesterday he has 4, which is unacceptable no matter what quarterback you are.
I'm thinking of, Falco and the replacements, the quicksand. It just feels like Drew Lock is in that quicksand for the last 3 games. It's not getting any better. A lot of questions about this team. Zach, right now, if you had to play the prediction game, because last week I'm kind of doing the whole, maybe we need some consistency. No matter how bad it gets, maybe it's time to just leave Vic Fangio alone, leave Pat Shurmur alone, leave Drew Lock alone, give it some time. But it's getting worse. So what's your prediction? Of those 3 guys, let's throw Elway in that mix. Of those 4 guys, are they all back next year? Do we just load this thing up again? And again, I know there's more season, but it's the prediction game.
Yeah, well, Andy Reid just signed a long-term extension.
Yeah.
So did Brett Veach with the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's being talked about as long-term continuity and stability. And that is just something that the Broncos have not had, and I don't think they're going to have, just with the way this thing is going. Of those 4 guys you mentioned, Brady, John Elway's back next year. He's not firing himself, and a lack of ownership is certainly not going to fire John Elway. So he's back. Now, let's see how these next 7 games play out. And Brady, right now, it's not looking good for at least 2 of those guys. Right now, I'm giving the edge, giving the nod to Vic Fangio that he's back. But for the other 2, it's really, really hard to say that they have a bright future here, even though there is a huge argument for stability and continuity. But Brady, we're looking at a game or the rest of the season where the Broncos aren't going to be favored in a single game the rest of this season, and in fact all year. And so there's a realistic chance that the Broncos win 1 game of their remaining 7, no games of their remaining 7. That is a legitimate conversation to have. And if the Broncos go 3-13, you can't stick with those same 4 guys. You have to change something up, and it'll start, you know, with Tom McMahon. I don't believe he'll be back. It's special teams, but then you got to do more than just that if you're 3-13 or 4-12. So then you go down. If the Broncos don't win another game or don't win a couple more games, Drew Lock has not shown us that he's the guy. So there'll be a new quarterback, and then at that point, might as well bring in a new offense. And so that's what you're looking at. And if it really does go 3-13 bad, 4-12 bad, then that's when it moves up to the next level of Vic Fangio as well.
It's getting rough. I mean, we've been here before, it feels like, but boy, you get tired of, you get tired of talking about it. Zach, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. You being in the media, dealing with so many of these players and coaches on a daily basis. I'm following Mike Purcell on Twitter. I'm seeing, obviously, Drew Lock's statements the last couple of weeks saying, hey, you know, a lot of guys that criticize us have never played, so maybe pointing out that maybe their criticism isn't worthy. You're seeing Purcell tweet out things like, hey, we're not animals in a cage. We have feelings too. It almost feels to me like players now, some of these players on Twitter don't want criticism. So they're saying, hey, if you didn't play, stop criticizing and treat us like human beings. Am I reading that the wrong way? It kind of ruffled my feathers a little bit over the weekend.
Yeah, and I totally understand why that would ruffle your feathers and get under fans nerves as well.
Sure.
Yeah, you're right. We didn't play the game at the NFL level. We also didn't get paid that type of money at the NFL level. Now, I do think if it gets to where you're, you know, taking personal insults and personal shots at people, that that's unacceptable from fans. But if you're properly calling a game how you see it and players' performances how you see it, I mean, that comes with being part of the game, with coming with that huge paycheck, with coming with the fame. And Brady, it does rub me the wrong way, because they knew that's what they signed up for, that when they're great, they are going to be praised. And that's all they have to do. If they want to be talked about in a better light, well, then they have to play better. And no one wants to cheer harder for the Broncos than Denver, Colorado, and Broncos country. Are you kidding me? This isn't New York, where if they're winning, everything's going to be negative against them. No, everyone's going to jump on their bandwagon and be pulling so hard for them. But it's been rough. This is the worst Broncos football that we've seen in decades. This is the first time the Broncos have given up 30 points in four straight games since 1968. This is, you know, the Broncos can't find a quarterback, and it looks like they're trending on another quarterback to go along with their quarterback carousel right now. Maybe a new offensive coordinator, maybe new head coach. So I'm right there with you. I don't like when the message is turned around on fans and media. No, we're just doing our job here. And one of the things that my friend Troy Rank says is, when players say that sort of thing, like, you didn't play, so you don't know, so don't judge me, that Troy says, well, you've never written 1,000 words at the end of a game in 10 minutes to meet deadline either. we're doing our job here. Yeah. You guys do your job here. And if you do your job right, then we're going to be saying a lot of good things about you.
Well, and then I love that point, too. It's also, criticism makes, if we're talking about you, it's popular, right? If the media side, movies, you know, you don't have to be an actor to be a movie critic. You can talk about it, and that's what makes movies rock. That's what makes sports go. And it just, I hope this isn't the trend here that we see. And again, to me, it kind of started with Drew Locke a couple of weeks ago. I'm thinking, man, you don't want to silence that criticism, because people like you that are writing those articles, that are talking about storylines, building those storylines up each and every week, that's what we get into. That's why the NFL's king, because we have a week to talk and write about it. So hopefully players can kind of start to understand that. But again, social media gives us a voice that maybe, you know, we're all still getting used to.
Yeah, exactly. And the worst thing for players and for media and for the sport is apathy by fans. And that's just fans not caring. So at least criticism, yeah, they're still caring. They're still tuned in. Because at the end of the day, if there's no fans, then those big paychecks aren't cashing. And especially in Broncos country, that's something that we haven't seen yet, because the team has been bad for 5 years, but there's some teams that have been bad for decades. And at that point, they do lose fans, and that is not what you want. I don't think the Broncos are there yet, but having fans still paying attention and criticizing you is not the worst thing.
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%, Zach. Appreciate you, man. Hey, what are you working on for us that we can check out? Hopefully, you know, it's not too critical or anything.
Well, this week is all about Drew Locke in many phases, and the most important one right now is there's a chance, Brady, that he may not play this coming week, not because he's being benched, although some people are calling for that. The Broncos aren't going to bench him. But his rib injury that he suffered yesterday, still being evaluated right now. He's questionable to practice on Wednesday, and his status for the game this coming weekend is up in the air. So that certainly will be following. And that would be the worst thing for the Broncos, is to have Drew Locke miss a game or two, because the rest of this season is finding out if he's the guy or not.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to that. Zach, appreciate you as always, my friend, and we'll look forward to catching up with you later down the road.
I love being on. Thanks for having me on, Brady.
All right, my man. That's Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Yeah, it's a tough situation for sure. But, you know, you see, I saw Mike Purcell. And listen, he is Mike Purcell is 100% right on a few things. You know, he's saying, hey, treat us with respect still. We don't want to get to this point where, you know, you're calling us the personal attacks. And I totally agree with that. If you're getting on Twitter calling guys bums and saying, you know, just absolutely personal things, yeah, they read that stuff. Their kids read that stuff. So I get that. But if you're calling a guy out saying, hey, Drew Locke shouldn't be the quarterback for the Broncos anymore, that's part of it. That's part of this game. That's part of the growth of sports, is you want fans, you know, and fans are not always going to be, it's all puppies and kittens. They're going to be critical of the game. I'm not one of those guys that says, hey, you shouldn't make this amount of money. That's too much money. No, You earn it. You bust your hump. You work extremely hard to be a professional football player. There's no doubt about it, man. And so you earn every penny of it, in my opinion. But you're also doing something that you love. You love the game of football. Most of us, when we hit that age, right, or we just never even got close, we don't get to extend our football careers past junior high or high school or college. Those NFL guys do. So with that, okay, you're getting paid a lot to do something that you love. I mean, so great, that's awesome. But now you're in the limelight. And part of that is, yeah, you're going to be criticized. I'm not saying you have to be okay with every single thing that comes your way. But maybe do the Aaron Rodgers relax thing once in a while rather than going off. Like I said, I like Mike Purcell. I follow him on Twitter. I agree with 90% of the things he posted. But he was defensive for his teammates over the weekend. And on one end, you like that. But again, you go that to the next thing with Drew Lock, and it's, well, a guy's criticizing me, never played before. Well, then that wipes out most of the media. They're not writing about you then. You know, Zach's writing an article now about Drew Lock. Wipe out everybody that never played. And nobody's talking about you. Your favorite radio hosts aren't talking about you. Your favorite TV personalities aren't talking about you. So there's got to be respect on both ends. I get it. You got to be a respectful person. I don't boo at games. I don't. But I don't blame fans for doing it. It's your experience. It's a game. It's fun. Anyway, there's my rant. 26 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a quick break here. High school football. I don't know where we are on a daily basis here, but we do have playoffs coming up this weekend. You'll hear it on KFKA. But what exactly will we hear? We'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
It's a party. Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party. Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Dan Patrick. You're listening to my pal, Brady Hall. Check out the Hall Show on Northern Colorado's football station, 1310 KFKA.
I mean, we're busting through this show today. It's just, it's flying by. So we'll have plenty more Broncos Raiders aftermath tomorrow. Where do we go from here with Denver? Power to Play Sports poll question. Are the Broncos going to be shopping for a new quarterback next year? And yeah, a day later, it certainly feels like it. Clark Johnson, I have a lot of questions for you. Clark Numbers Johnson of Preps Radio. Is this right? Mead, great high school football team. They essentially have to forfeit their game. They have to forfeit their game because of, COVID, but also the contact tracing and all of that.
Yeah, and we don't know what it is, whether players came down with it or, you know, like what happened at Eaton, the teacher comes down with it. And so by contact,
they just say that,
everybody
okay.
That's been in there, you got to go quarantine.
Wow.
So the great thing for the Reds is they'll have their players back Thursday. So for them going forward, fine. But for Meade, the numbers must have been so big that they said, hey, Jason Klatt probably said, hey, we can't play. Which is huge because that's a team that always goes deep, you know.
Wow, so, that's tough.
Yeah, I mean, and now that makes you start every year during the playoffs. We go, okay, let's talk about injuries.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it? It's not injuries this year.
No.
It's can you make it 3 weeks without contact tracing or COVID hit in your school and make it through the playoffs?
But for the most part, unless it's a specific team,
yep.
The playoffs are a go. We're,
yep.
We're scheduled to have playoffs.
Playing football
for those teams that have qualified, of course, to them, and you know we hear about cases, and then there's vaccines and all that stuff. But I'm guessing neither one of those right now has really a real impact. We're set to have football this weekend.
JASA wants to finish this thing. They do not want to stop like they did in basketball last year. You know, as we get to the championship games or semifinals, they want to get this done. So yeah, unless it completely blows up, I think you just have maybe a team or two that say, hey. Can't do this.
Yeah. All right. So let's go through it. What we know at this point, let's start at the 1A side of things. Highland missed out. Is that correct?
Yeah. They end up number 9.
Wow.
And that's tough for Zach Sampson's team. I mean, they lost their opening 2. They won the next 4. You go 4-2. But here is the first casualty of, and university could say this too on the 2A side, being number 9, number 10, maybe at the end of the year. Normally you'd be going to postseason. Here we are in COVID year. You're out on the outside looking in.
Yeah, it's a strange year, and I would imagine most teams kind of get that and just,
yeah.
You know, it's,
yep.
It is what it is, yep. I suppose. How about Resurrection Christian at this point in time? what are we looking like there? They get the number one seed. They blew everybody out all season.
Didn't get scored upon, 231-0. The question for them is they didn't really play. I mean, they beat University, and they tarred them 47-0. But other than that, they didn't play anybody. So, and you can only play who's in front of you. I get that. My eye test says they're the best team in the state. But how does that change when you get into the semifinals? They might play Eaton in the semifinals if Eaton can win at Pagosa. That's way harder than any football team they've played this year. So how do they do when they get their first bit of adversity or first push in the playoffs? How are they going to get through that?
Yeah, Moffitt County should be able to breeze.
I hear that they have 7 players out, Moffitt does, because of COVID, but will still play the game, at least for now. They're shopping for a place to play. We're supposed to play Saturday at 1 o'clock at Windsor High School. Saturday, 1 o'clock at Windsor. Windsor wants to do what some of the high schools are doing who missed the playoffs. They're trying to get with another team, another school that missed the playoffs, and have a 7th game. That really doesn't mean anything.
Just except play.
The kids get to play.
Just get another game.
I get that. But Windsor's saying now to Rez, well, not so fast, my friend. We want to play Saturday at 1. So Jeff Van Winkle and Resurrection Christian looking for a home site to play at during COVID times is tough.
I'm glad. It's hard enough to chase these rescheduled games. I'm glad I don't have to make those decisions. A game that's going to be on KFKA, we'll have, which one we got?
We're going to have Platte Valley and Delta on Saturday at 1. So that's it. Boy, Cade McDaniel just blowing up at the end of the year here. The senior had another great ball game. What a finish we had on Preps Radio on Saturday.
It was an amazing game.
It was Eaton game for basically who wins that game is going to be at home. That's Platte Valley. Eaton has to go to Pagosa Springs, a nice 6-hour drive. Eaton, I got it, hands off. Just complete hats off to what they did, though. Without 7 starters, the Reds go toe-to-toe with Platte Valley on Saturday, and the Broncos and Cade McDaniel win. With 32 seconds to go, McDaniel hits Weston Meyer for a 60-yard touchdown pass, and Platte Valley wins. So we'll have Platte Valley on the radio 1 o'clock against Delta on Saturday. That should be fun.
Yeah, what an exciting game for sure right here on 1310 KFKA. How about Roosevelt? They get the top seed. They'll host Fort Morgan on Saturday.
Absolutely. Roosevelt looks like the best team. I mean, it's going to be fun. This is it's a very balanced Roosevelt offense, not just that run-happy team they normally have, and their defense is outstanding. This is a game against Fort Morgan that was scheduled. They're from the same conference, game that was scheduled a few weeks ago, and Fort Morgan couldn't play because of COVID. And so, and that almost cost Fort Morgan a seeding. They got the 8 seed, but guess who they get? They get Roosevelt. So we'll see that game, see what that looks like. They'll play Saturday at 1 as well.
How about this? We'll have a Friday night game. Friday night playoff game.
I love that.
Yes, I do too. I think that we should do this in a normal time, is just have night games, because they play at night most of the time all season.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, I get that.
They play at like 6 in the morning.
Saturday. That's right. Let's go 4 in the morning Saturday. Everybody, come on.
Four-seeded Loveland to host this Broomfield team on Friday night. That'll be here on 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, this is probably the best matchup of the first round of any of the games I've seen. Loveland got the 4, Broomfield's the 5. They've split the last 8 meetings 4 apiece. The last time these two teams met in the playoffs was 2017 in this same spot in the quarterfinal game. Broomfield won that one 28-27 in overtime. So I expect much more of the same here. The big variable, besides COVID, is this weekend. Rain, showers, 60% supposed to be Friday night. And then here comes the snow. All I see are snow showers and about 30 degrees on Saturday. So good luck to us.
To get those earmuffs going in the
mittens.
Fighting
to get in the box on Saturday at Platte Valley, but we'll see how that works. But Friday night, yeah, we'll be. We got to bring our baggies because we'll be in the rain, I think.
Oh man, well, it reminds me of our old days.
That's why I said, man, you got to jump in with me because we had some winners.
Oh, I don't want to. I don't want to make you feel bad here. I will be in a press box for the CSU UNLV game.
Nice. You'll be all warm.
I will be all warm. Yeah. We had Chick-fil-A in there. It was really nice.
Fantastic.
But you got to sit away from everybody. You're just kind of lonely. Yeah. But
here's the interesting thing for sports. I heard Chick-fil-A made a big deal with one of the NFL teams to be in stadium restaurant.
Oh, interesting.
They're not open on Sunday.
So they're going to have to be open on Sunday.
No. I don't think they will.
Oh, really?
I think it's against what they believe.
So they just shut it down.
So what I'm hearing is, boy, is that the dumbest thing you've ever done, is to get with, maybe they will get at a loophole.
Maybe because it's not actually a store.
Why would you make that deal if you're because Sunday is the NFL,
right? Unless they're just yeah.
Are they going to go there on Thursday night?
Yeah, just do their Thursday night, Monday night games.
Yeah, that's it.
They'll just do those. Wow,
kind of silly.
Should be a fun weekend. Clark, are you hearing anything on the basketball front? I know we're preparing our 13 days, 13 teams high school training camp coverage for basketball. That'll be later in the month of November, kind of bleeding over December. As of right now, we're expecting a go.
Yeah, everything sounds like it's a go. The big thing to me is, and they've already done this, implemented this at Power to Play Sports, you have to wear a mask while you play.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, wow, you know, I'm an old man. I can't get through shopping at the store with a mask on. How do they play a whole game? Well, they're kids. They can get there. I heard that once they stop, you know, everybody does it once and complains. It's not that bad. You can get through it. So, but that might be what we see, is that referees and players on the court wearing masks during basketball. But and then probably limited, if any, people in the stands.
For now, for maybe this season is what it might look like. I know UNC on the college basketball side of things, they announced December at least would have no fans available. Clark, tell us a little bit about Weld Community Credit Union.
Yeah, I love these guys, no doubt about it. They've got this great new app. They're working with Zogo, the financial literacy app developed by Duke University's behavioral scientists, where everyone from kids to adults can earn money while they learn about money. So great stuff. You just go to Weld Community Credit Union and bring up the app, and they'll get it there for you. 73% of Americans say finances are a major stressor. Weld Community Credit Union is Zogo, here to help. Download the free app with code WELD and work towards financial freedom. What I love about Weld Community Credit Union is they're trying to teach the youngsters. Here's how to do a checkbook. Here's how important it is to, you know, to keep your credit in good standing. I mean, all of those things that we should be teaching our kids, and I'm not sure we do a great job at it. They really stress it. So Weld Community Credit Union, absolutely love them. WeldCCU.com is where you go, or give them a call. Great rates right now on auto loans, student loans, credit cards. 330-9728, Weld Community Credit Union.
Clark, we're looking forward to a fun weekend of high school football and you know, seeing what we can do. Folks, we'll have schedule updates there for you at 1310kfk.com. Appreciate you, man.
Send me a coat.
I will. Yes, send coats and gloves. 41 minutes after the hour, we'll jump out here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
46 minutes after the hour, man, we have been busting through this program today. Colfax, a lot of stuff to get to, short time to do it, thanks to CU head coach Carl Durrell for joining the program. We caught up with Mark Knutson earlier, Zach Stevens from DNVR Broncos, and then you just heard from Clark Johnson. So, Colfax, we covered it all, man. It's Northern Colorado. We're gonna hit it. We're gonna talk CU. We're gonna talk Broncos. We're gonna talk preps once in a while. We're gonna get into a little bit of everything here on the program. Do want to thank On the Rocks Liquor for allowing us to be Northern Colorado sports station or sports talk show. Our game beer of the week from New Belgium Brewing in Fort Collins, Old Fashioned Bourbon Barrel Ale. Pick up selections from New Belgium or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight every single night. Also, I want to remind you, they're one of the only liquor stores around. In fact, the only one that I know of. They are carrying Molly Brown Spirits from Denver, bourbon whiskey and rye whiskey. It's available only at On the Rocks Liquor. So there are friends over there, great people. We love what they do. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Colfax, I got the, let's see, the non-conference schedule is up there for CU's basketball season. I'm seeing South Dakota there. Kansas State at Arizona. They'll play Colorado State, the Colorado State Rams, on Tuesday, December 8th. And they will be playing UNC on Monday, December 14th. So, yeah, that's cool. All at Boulder. So, just getting that now in front of me. Haven't had a chance to bust through this just yet. But, again, the local games, fairly local games you need to pay attention to. They will play a Tuesday, December 8th. Against Colorado State in Boulder. They will play the following Monday, December 14th, home against UNC. So we'll have, I believe, we're going to have every single one of these games for you for UNC, but I've also heard a couple of restrictions the Pac-12's putting on some of their broadcasters, as far as outside broadcasters might be not allowed to do the game. So again, we're gonna sort through that as best as we possibly can. So there you go. That is just posted to our website, 1310kfk.com, or thewholeshow.com. There, go vote on our poll question of the day. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Will the Broncos be searching for a new quarterback next year? 48 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. We're going to wrap up the show on the other side. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy.
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for The Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
So the UNC Bears now will be playing a lot of local teams. They're Colfax. They'll be playing, I don't have it in front of me, of course, but they'll be playing DU. They'll be playing CU on Monday, December 14th. And they'll also be playing Colorado State as well. So this is an opportunity. I keep bragging about how I believe the UNC Bears are best college basketball team in the state. I feel like they have that shot. Well, they get a chance to go ahead and try to prove it. So that's awesome. I'm very excited about that. December 12th, they'll have Colorado State. December 14th, they'll have the Colorado Buffs. So a Saturday at Colorado State. Monday, they're down in Boulder. And then the following Wednesday, they play that same week, they play Denver. So three in a row. You get an opportunity to see this Bears team against, I think, as far as, again, I haven't done a deep dive into DU, but a respectable program. CSU, I think, should finish in the top three. I think all three schools, and I sound like a big homer when I say this, Colfax, but all three schools got snubbed in the preseason polls. I think CU, they were picked to finish like sixth or seventh. UNC was finished to pick fifth in the coaches' poll and third in the media poll, and CSU is fifth or something like that. I think CSU finishes top three. I think CU finishes at number two, and I think the Bears actually win the Big Sky Conference. So, again, stick with us at 3 o'clock today. We've got another edition coming up of the UNC Bears men's basketball preseason special. We got UNC basketball next Friday, Colfax. Yeah, so we got high school playoffs all this weekend, so get your fill there. And then we have a UNC basketball game next Friday afternoon. I am very excited for that, and Jason will be joining me in studio here at 3 o'clock, and we'll start busting into, well, we'll look at the preseason polls. He gathered some great interviews as well, and we'll talk. We usually try to, last couple of shows, we try to get another voice of a Big Sky Conference team. So it should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Make sure you tune in. First Advantage, excellent sponsor. Folks, this has been The Whole Show. We've been live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Looking forward to catching up with you guys tomorrow. More on the Broncos. It's Top Text Tuesday, so have at it. Take out your frustration on a Top Text Tuesday. Good night, Northern Colorado.